I love taking people by surprise, especially Joe Angela, who's our comedy reviewer here at Fringe Review. And actually, this is a good time to do this review, as you make various gestures at me, because I know you're busy and you're seeing a lot of work, and you've seen a lot of work in the field of comedy. I know you're seeing a little bit outside that genre too. So at the moment, without naming names, what's your kind of overview of being a reviewer here of comedy for Fringe Review? Which also makes you draw on your own experience, and, you know, it's not just about I found it funny, but saying a lot more about the work. So you've seen quite a lot. How many shows have you actually seen, Joe, so far, roughly?
Somewhere around about 45 shows so far.
So what's your overview of that body of work? Have you been impressed? Has it sort of shown you anything you weren't aware of before? Take a sort of helicopter view of the Fringe so far.
It's been interesting. You have a lot of comedy which is very similar in form. It's people in their 20s and 30s telling you stories about their lives in very traditional stand-up form, as shows that you can see anywhere. Going around that are some unusual, odd, creative fringe work that properly warrants the title of a good fringe show. That's the kind of work that challenges the way you think about things, the way you look at stuff. We've seen comedians attacking some very serious subjects. For example, racism is quite a theme, it's quite current at the moment, and to see that tackled head-on by a young comedian is a good thing. It informs your understanding. It's very important.
From the literally thousands of shows, it must be impossible, but how do you choose? People are flyering you, you get to look at the Fringe programme, you've seen stuff elsewhere. In the end, you can't see it all. So the 45 so far, what have been some of the criteria for choosing?
Talking to people and asking them what they think, what they would recommend, what they saw that they liked, and asking them why they liked it.
So you put your ear to the ground and become humble and just listen to, you know, the word that's around.
I think it's easier to gauge someone's response to a show if they're telling you why they liked it.
Right.
That gives it an authenticity that you don't necessarily get from reading something that's written.
Right.
So if I write a review on something, I try to be as honest as I can, but I don't know how the reader responds to that. And if I could see your face when you tell me how good something is, yeah, then I kind of got a better idea of just how good you found
so,
that.
So you put your nose to the air, your ear to the ground, but also you don't come here, you know, with a blank sheet of paper. What sort of stuff are you looking for too?
There are some headline acts. There are stuff that I've seen before, acts that I've seen before that I know are going to deliver something that I'm really going to enjoy, that they are masters of their craft. There is always a pleasure in watching someone who's really good at something make it look really easy.
Yeah.
And some of these big names, they are so polished that it is that joy of just watching something done really well.
Yeah.
But if you go to lots of comedy shows, you do get to see works in progress, you get to see people coming up, and it's nice to see young acts developing new themes and trying to deliver comedy in a new way and find their niche. And that's quite important.
Yeah. Now, I'm struggling to remember the name of one of your earliest reviews. It was a female comedian. It begins with J, I think. Let's see if you can remember while I look it up.
Yeah, yeah. Janine Haruni.
Yeah, so I remember you came and sat down and you were being very, very, you know, animated, and you clearly seen someone that you liked. When you come out of a show, there's obviously always the two things, which was me as a punter, not a reviewer, I really like this, but now I have to write a review. So as you say why you came out, you know, ready to write a positive review, I'm talking to both people here, the punter and the reviewer.
It's difficult. It would be nice to just go and see a show and sit there without a notepad.
Yeah.
But you have to take notes. You're going to review it. So the two go along together. Your response to comedy is a very direct thing. If you're laughing, that's a really good thing, especially if you see lots of shows. It's telling you something before you begin to break down why it was funny.
So why was that funny?
Because it was partly because of the way it was technically crafted. It had a narrative that ran all the way through the show. It was laden with gags. She used a wide variety of expressions and accents to enhance the story. There was a lot of honesty in it. There was a lot about her life, her family, and things that were important to her, but done in a slightly different way. It's a little bit more of a performed comedy piece than a standard stand-up in front of a microphone. And to try and do it a little bit differently from everybody else is a positive thing.
Right.
The audience loved it. They absolutely loved it all the way.
Had you been grumpy, you know, maybe caught an Edinburgh cold, what I'm assuming, because this is, you know, how we review, but also how, having read your reviews, if you were grumpy and weren't laughing because you were grumpy, you'd still be able to say all of that about the show as a reviewer.
I would hope so. I think that's an idealised version of reviewing. There has to be an element of subjectivity in what you're doing. But you can still break down the craft, you can still see the techniques, you can see how the jokes are constructed, how they signal jokes coming up or come back to gags that have gone before, how they summarise.
And you can see yourself as the only one not laughing in an audience that's loving it. And like, you do report on that, don't you?
Yes, yes, you do get that kind of... there are a lot of very, what I would call, competent comedians. They have all of the skills, they have all of the stagecraft, they have the manner, but the material is somewhat lacking. And you look at it and you still see people laughing along. But if you look closely, you can see the audience are laughing politely. There's a difference between laughing politely and going along with something for howling with laughter. The show I saw last night, absolutely howling with laughter in the audience, and you can feel it. It's a different sensation.
Now, they're maybe the 6-foot posters. Tell us about the A4 posters.
By that you mean...
You go head out on the Free Fringe, you head down on Cowgate. You're not looking only for the big names, are you?
No, you're looking for the names that are going to come through, and you want to take a chance on some of the acts that are out there. There's a lovely little act by a very young comedian who started off as a teacher. He did that for 2 years, has now moved into comedy. He's a very talented musician.
We better name him.
It's a chap called Archie Henderson. The show isn't quite there. It's not quite finished. He's just going to improve it as he gets older. It's still a bit rough and raw, ready around the edges.
Yeah. So he's here to try out new stuff and experiment and so on.
Yeah, and build his audience up and gradually get his name known and develop his act.
Yeah.
But it's because it's a bit different. It makes it a bit niche. It makes it a bit more interesting.
Yeah.
There are other guys that, like, one of my favourites, is a chap called Paul Curry. He treats you to something that is so different from anybody else.
Yeah.
And to me, the audience came out of that show feeling happy, not just having laughed.
Now, you're up here also for the Amuse Moose Comedy Award, which is quite famous.
Yes.
And, you know, I've been looking at you aghast, but it may be just because I couldn't do it, but before you've even arrived, you've been looking at literally hundreds of YouTube kind of trailers to whittle that down. Now you're seeing some of them live and it'll come up to an award. But how do you assess comedy that's live when you're watching, you know, what is not going to be a BBC or ITV quality film? Can you still capture the atmosphere if you're not in the room?
Yes. So you're looking for different things because you're not directly there, and comedy is such a direct medium. You are looking for content, structure, material, how things are written, delivery style. And you are watching the audience there. Are the audience themselves enjoying it? Now, with something like the Amuse Moose, you have video submissions and you have the live performance after. So you are looking at both sides of it. The show still is going to need to be good on both for it to get through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Certainly there have been some of the video submissions that I've seen live that have been disappointing.
Yeah.
And some I thought were disappointing on the video were much better live. So you're getting this... this crossover between the two.
Now, you write, you've got your own comedy website, you write satire, you're also up here on the team for a bit of theatre that's winning awards here too.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a good thing that, you know, you can feel the pain a bit of what it's like to be up there too? Is it good to have a fellowship with the performers and what they're going through when you review?
I think the two things are different. I think if you're going to get involved with a performer, it's very hard to write an objective review. And that, I don't think, is helpful. You're writing a review for a specific purpose. There is merit in seeing what goes into putting a performance together and understanding how hard these guys have to work to put on a show every single day for 25 consecutive days, to promote that show, to get people in, and everything that goes around it. It is a major undertaking. There's a reason why people are so tired at the end of the Fringe. It's a very demanding schedule. And it's interesting to see how that all works and be involved in it.
And we're just past halfway. So what sorts of things, not necessarily the names of shows, but what's on your to-do list now we're halfway between now and when you have to leave?
Now I've kind of got through most of the big name acts that I really wanted to see, which were partly involved a lot of personal pleasure because I knew they were going to be good. It's working my way through all of the people that I've met and shows that I've been interested in. We did a big event here called Meet the Media, and we had 5 hours of people just coming pitching shows at us. And one of the things that I was looking for in the people I was talking to was to try and get them off the subject of their show pitch and find out if there were is enough interesting stuff in them and how they carried themselves to make me want to go and find out more. Right. And it was finding out, could they make me want to go and know what they were doing and why they were doing it. So
Joe Angela, writer, reviewer, judge of a comedy award, not looking as knackered as some of the comedians that have wandered in during this interview. Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.